Royal King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
Josh Newberg with us on Thursday down in the Tampa, St. Pete area. Jim and Jupiter, first question there, Berg. Will Florida State end up with a top 10 recruiting class? I was just looking at 24/7, they're number 11, so they're right there.
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll have a couple additions. Most likely right now I'd pencil in Julian Armella, the offensive tackle from Fort Lauderdale. I feel really good about where FSU sits with him. I put in a crystal ball pick on him yesterday, and I believe FSU is going to go in-home either tonight or tomorrow with him. But I think he's going to take an official visit to FSU on December 10th, which is the last weekend before signing day. So I really like where they stand there. That'll be a big-time get. I think he's top 200 player, top 150. So FSU is going to add a little bit from the high school level, but then you got to factor in the transfer portal as well. So even if they finish at 11, I mean, I'm going to consider and factor in that they're going to take 8-9 transfers this offseason, and this roster is going to be once again upgraded.
Josh Newberg, 24/7 Sports with us. So do you think the transfer portal will be equal to the recruiting class as far as upgrading this roster?
We'll see. I think that they're hoping to, because they need some wide receivers. They need offensive linemen. They need defensive linemen. So, yeah, I think that they're going to have a pretty nice haul. But, you know, last year it was Jermaine Johnson and Keir Thomas. You hope that the staff can replicate that again this offseason.
Yeah, just make everybody as good as those two, and you'll be okay.
It's that easy.
Yes, right. And if they're not as good as those two, don't take them. Just kick them to the street. That'd be a pretty high, lofty area to set for new players. Josh Newberg with us. What's the feeling now that the regular season is done and you look back and you review? What's the grade? What's the outlook?
I think you have to be optimistic if you're an FSU fan. I know they won 5 games and they didn't look good at times, but I think that they played really beyond the talent level of the roster and the depth of the roster. I think they overcame a lot of things. They had a lot of guys playing key roles that are going to be, you know, moving on in their career, selling insurance or cars or whatever, and probably never playing football ever again. So I think they're slowly turning this thing over, but that's what you see. It's going to be slow. But you have to be optimistic about the fight and the fact that the coaches believe in Mike Norvell, the players believe in Mike Norvell. I mean, there's no question that these guys played harder than they have in quite some time. And if they can continue to do that, they can put in a full off season of, you know, not having to deal with the pandemic, not having to deal with coaching change, not having to deal with all these off-the-field things. I think this team is focused on improving, and I think there's a lot of reasons for optimism, even though it was a five-win season. They don't make a bowl game. There's a lot of disappointing things that happen, but I do think the program's heading in the right direction.
For everybody listening, and we have fans of basically every team that listen to this show, how does a powerhouse like Florida State get so broken?
Well, it didn't happen quickly. I think also the turn of coaches, you know, I think that's been a little bit of it as well. When Jimbo left, he didn't leave things in great shape. When Willie Taggart left, he didn't leave things in great shape. And it was, you know, Mike Norvell was kind of tasked with turning it around. He arrives and doesn't even have a chance to recruit in the offseason due to the pandemic. He had to purge the roster. It's hard to get back to that 80, 85 scholarship mark. There's been a lot of reasons why, but, you know, it's still Florida State. The standard's the standard. People aren't happy about where the program has been these past few years. But, you know, the rebuild, I think, is underway. And, you know, I think eventually they'll be back where they should be.
Jess Newberg with us.
And Bill, if you look at dips in programs cycles, I mean, you compare Florida State's right now, their dip, you know, we call it a dip. They won the national championship in 2013, and they could be getting back to where they need to be, or at least in the foreseeable future, like the next 2 to 3 years. But you look at the cycle for Miami, it's been 20 years at this point.
Yeah.
Look at Florida. They're still scrambling from when Urban left in 2009. You know, they haven't gotten their feet under them yet. New coach coming in town. So I think Florida State wants to avoid that. They want to avoid the churn of coaches, because it seems like having one coach there for a sustained period of time is the best formula for building a program. But, you know, the demands of college fan bases these days and recruiting and everything kind of turns everything up a couple notches.
What's the feel in the Sunshine State about the hiring of Billy Napier?
I think there's a lot of excitement, but in a way, I think it got overshadowed to an extent because of the big splash hires at USC and LSU. Don't you?
I do. It's not getting the publicity, and Marcus Freeman is hurting Florida's publicity.
Right. Even there, I think in the moment it was, you know, it was a good hire. It was an exciting hire, and I'm like the hire because I think Billy Napier will work hard and he'll do a good job. It's going to be similar to Mike Norvell's tenure at FSU. It's going to be a slower build. So we'll see how that goes, in how it ages, meaning the hire. Like, if there's more splash hires when spring rolls around, do we even look at the Gator hire differently then? You know, it's kind of a weird year. It felt like that was going to be a major hire, and that just took a backseat immediately.
Steven in Hawkinsville, Georgia, ask Berg how many years it will take for any team in Florida to be a top 10 program again.
Well, I think Florida State's 2-3 years away. You know, I don't know what Miami's doing. Now that recruiting's back up, I haven't been able to pay too much attention to this whole Manny Diaz and their hiring of the AD. I don't really understand what Miami's going to do right now, but I think I'd probably say Florida State, but I might be biased though.
Dan Mullen burner account. Ask Berg, any other guys on the flip watch like Antavius Woody, and whatever happened with the D-tackle Georgia commit who visited a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I feel good about Antavius Woody sticking to Florida State. FSU did their in-home visit with him yesterday. Alex Atkins and Mike Norvell were in Alabama to see him. And then Tyree West at Tift County High School got a visit from Mike Norvell yesterday as well. He's going to take an official visit to FSU this weekend. I put in a crystal ball pick for him to flip to FSU. I feel good about that, especially since he's coming to campus this weekend. Maybe we see him announce something while he's on campus, but I do think FSU signs Tyree West.
And Dan Mullen's burner account has another question. Are you more of a blunt guy or a bong guy? I'm not kidding. That's his question.
Papers all day. Papers
is that right? I had a friend in high school, and I went to an all-boys exclusive private school in high school, okay? Spoiled brat. Everybody drove a Beamer, okay, in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy, his dad was a pathologist at Vanderbilt. Now, you know what kind of intellect level you need to be a pathologist at any place, but let's just say Vanderbilt. So this guy came from brilliant DNA, okay? I mean, this guy never had to study for a test, made straight A's, went to Sewanee, went to the University of the South, which is better than Vanderbilt. Okay. His dad told him, I don't mind you smoking weed. Now, this is 1980, but you've got to do it in the house. I don't want you out there doing it. And this dude, Berg, this is 1980 now. I get to his house one day. He has purchased, with his dad's permission, a bong that is about 3 to 4 feet tall. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You could jump in this thing.
And how old were you?
17, 16.
Okay. Yeah, so it's about taller than you were.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. So, I mean, and he'd sit in there and smoke and then make us A on a test. No problems.
Damn.
No problems at all.
Yeah. I wish I had that superpower.
So that doesn't replicate your high school years, right?
No, I didn't. I didn't really smoke in high school or college. I mean, I didn't casually, but yeah, it was more of a thing I got into in my late 20s, I would say.
Alan in Tampa, ask Berg about Sam McCall.
I feel good about Sam McCall. I don't really have any reason to think that he's going to flip. I know his head coach at Lake Gibson High School was on staff as an analyst under Billy Napier in Louisiana. And as long as I don't think he's going to hire him. Now, if he hired Sam McCall's coach as an analyst or anything over at UF, then yeah, you know, it piqued my interest. But Florida State's relationship with Sam McCall is long. They've been in contact with him since Mike Norvell's been on campus, really. So 2 years with him and Marcus Woodson, the DB coach. I don't know if they can come in a week and flip Sam McCall. The only way that I think that's even possible is if they were to hire his head coach in some role.
A lot of interesting names in the transfer portal. Spencer Rattler's one of them. But Jahmyr mm-hmm. Gibbs at Georgia Tech, a running back, a receiver, a pure offensive playmaker. Is there anything going on with him with any of the Florida teams as far as you know?
It's not yet, but I do expect FSU to pursue him. He's only been in the portal for about a day, maybe two, and FSU has just been all over the place. Their coaches were in South Florida. Mike Norvell, I told you, was doing those two in-homes. Kenny Dillingham was in Norman, Oklahoma, recruiting transfers. So I do think that they'll pursue Gibbs. Maybe it's something they get to at the end of this week. Definitely something that I'm going to look into today.
Man, he is – Berg, you've watched him, but I know Georgia Tech wasn't really fun to watch at all this year, but that guy is a instant playmaker wherever he goes.
Well, they wanted him out of high school. They wanted him out of high school bad. They recruited him and, you know, were not able to land him, so now they're going to go after him again.
Josh Newberg with us. He joins us every Wednesday. Okay, or every Thursday, sorry. What is happening? Have you been caught up in the stock market plunge here last day or so?
You know, luckily recruiting's heated up, so I've just been able to put my phone down and not look at it and not feel bad about it. But, man, they're squeezing it, huh? They're squeezing this the fear out of everybody.
I mean, because December is supposed to be the Christmas rally, right? The Santa Claus rally. Mm-hmm. It's not happening, at least yet.
No, we haven't seen anything we're only 2 days into December. But, yeah, December's been ugly. The end of November was horrible right before Thanksgiving. You kind of got the feeling like, okay, the market's going to dump a little bit on this half day, and then we're going to rebound on Monday. And it rebounded in the morning, and then it just sank. But that was mostly off of all this, all these new COVID fears.
Berg, have a good rest of the week, and we'll see you next Thursday, sir.
All right, Bill, you too. Talk to you then. See ya.
Josh Newberg, 24/7 Sports. Pac-12, Dave, down on the Emerald Coast. Bill?